So John 21, 1 to 14. After this, Jesus appeared once more to his disciples at Lake Tiberias. This is how it happened. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael, the one from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples of Jesus were all together. Simon Peter said to the others,
"I'm going fishing."
And the other disciples said,
"We will go with you."
So they went out in a boat, but all that night they did not catch a thing. As the sun was rising, Jesus stood at the water's edge, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then he asked them,
"Friends, haven't you caught any fish?"
"No, not a thing,"
the other disciples answered. Jesus said,
"Throw your net out on the right side of the boat, and you will find some."
So they threw the net out and could not pull it back in, because they had caught so many fish. The disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter,
"It is the Lord."
When Peter heard that it was the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken his clothes off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples came to shore in the boat, pulling the net full of fish. They were not very far from land, about 100 yards away. When they stepped ashore, they saw a charcoal fire, and there with fish on it and some bread. Then Jesus said to them,
"Bring some of the fish you have just caught."
Simon Peter went aboard and dragged the net ashore full of big fish, 153 in all. Even though there were so many, still the net did not tear. Jesus said to them,
"Come and eat breakfast."
None of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. So Jesus went over, took the bread, and gave it to them. He did the same with the fish. This, then, was the third time Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you to Becky and to Jesus and to Simon Peter and the other disciples. Now I wonder who it is that you would love to meet and what extent that you would go and meet with that person. Maybe some of you are big sports fanatics. I can see Andrew with his Manchester United shirt. Maybe you could quite do with meeting Cristiano Ronaldo and bringing him back to Manchester United to get some points on the board. Or maybe some of you are cycling fans and you'd love to sit down with Bradley Wiggins and hear about how he got all those Olympic gold medals. Or maybe there's someone else that you admire for their sporting ability. Or maybe some of us aren't so bothered about sport and we'd rather listen to a little bit of music and we would love to meet with people like Coldplay or Bruce Springsteen or even One Direction and have a little bit of a sing-along with them and get to find out how the rise to fame's been like, what it's like to be a life of a pop star. Or other people might have other... 1 minute, Andrew. Other people might have other... interests that they want to get involved with, like authors. They might want to meet their favourite author and find out what inspires their stories, or they might want to be interested in fashion and find out what all these fashion designers that they love and follow, what inspires them to create the garments that they do, and they'd go to extremes to go and meet with these individuals. When Peter heard that Jesus was on the beach, he went to the extreme to go and meet up with his friend. He was so excited to go and see and meet up with Jesus that he couldn't wait for the boat to turn around and he could get there with the rest of the disciples. Instead, Peter grabbed his clothes, jumped into the sea, and swam to the shore to be with Jesus. And for a moment, I wonder why Peter was so excited. Well, it could be that Jesus was one of Peter's closest friends. And if you think about your best friends and think about what it is that you like about them, maybe they make you laugh, maybe they encourage you, you know that they're always going to have your back. When Peter saw his friend on the shore, he was excited to go and spend more time with him. He wanted to go and be with his friend. So he dived over the boat, over the edge of the boat, into the sea and swam to shore. If you think about it, Peter had been following Jesus around for the last 3 years of his life. He'd seen him do amazing things. Not only had he got to know him, he'd seen him do miracles. He'd seen him speaking to a crowd of people and amazing them with the things that he said. And then he'd seen Jesus die and then raised back to life again. He had known Jesus for 3 years, and those 3 years had totally transformed his life. But shortly before this story, we're told how Peter, just after Jesus had been arrested and just before he died, had denied that he even knew Jesus 3 times because he was scared of what might happen to him if he said that he knew Jesus. Peter knew in that moment that he had let Jesus down. He knew at that moment that he'd disappointed Jesus. Peter wouldn't have forgotten the fact that he'd let his friend down. And you can imagine how he must have been feeling ever since that moment where that he'd let Jesus down, because he'd never been able to make it up to his friend or say sorry to him. Peter loved being with Jesus. He knew that following Jesus was hard at times, but he knew that in the long run, it was worthwhile. It was worth the struggle. And that's why Peter was disappointed in himself, for letting Jesus down by saying that he didn't know his closest friend. And then Peter hears that Jesus is on the shore, calling out instructions to his friends as to how they might catch the most amount of fish and have a more successful fishing trip than they were currently having. So Peter, like we've heard, without thinking, dives into the sea and swims to see Jesus. Peter would have been really excited to see his friend. There is no doubt that Peter and the disciples loved spending time with Jesus, so he was clearly keen to go and learn more from him, to hear more of his great words, to go and see his friend once again. But maybe when Peter heard that Jesus was there on the shore, he had an opportunity to make up for that disappointment and to put things right with Jesus after he'd let him down. Maybe he saw the opportunity to go over to Jesus and say sorry and to seek forgiveness. Peter knew that he needed to make things right with Jesus, and he was so passionate and keen to do so that he couldn't wait. He dived out of the boat and swam to the shore to make things right with Jesus. And maybe we today can be a bit like Peter sometimes. Maybe we want to be really, really good friends with Jesus, but don't quite know how we can do so. We can read our Bibles, we can pray to him, we can spend time in his presence. That's one way of getting to know him more. But maybe we're also, some of us here today, a bit like Peter, knowing that we've let God down. Maybe we're a bit like Peter in knowing that we have disappointed Jesus. Maybe we've even denied Jesus, and we don't know how we can make things right again. There may be people here today who still feel like Peter would have done on that boat, feeling a bit sad, a bit disappointed, and a bit like a failure. But have you been like Peter and taken the opportunity to put things right with Jesus once again? Have you taken the opportunity to say sorry, to seek forgiveness? Or have you instead retreated and kept your distance from Jesus, scared to go and approach him? Peter clearly shows us here that if we have let God down, if we've disappointed God, if we want to get to know God more, we don't need to be shy and stay away from God, or feel like we can't be with him. Instead, we should be passionate to show our desire to put things right with him again. We should be keen to say to Jesus, we are sorry. So keen that we'd be willing to jump off a boat and swim to shore instead of waiting for the boat to do a U-turn and make its own way back. But there's also a bit of comfort here for us as well. When Peter and the other disciples had all reached the shore, Jesus was there to welcome them with a meal that was ready to be eaten. A meal in those times was more than just a way of feeding or of getting rid of the hunger pains and refreshing your energy after a long night's fishing. Instead, it was also a symbol of friendship and acceptance. Not only does Peter jump off the boat, not only is he keen and excited to build a better relationship with Jesus, but Jesus also accepts his apology. And not only does he accept his apology, he then shares a meal with him as his friend. We can be confident too that if we jump out of our boats and if we try and get to make our way back to Jesus and invest in our relationships with Jesus, he won't turn his back on us as well. Instead, he will accept us. He will accept our apologies where they're needed. He will welcome us back as friends, just like he did with Peter. So Peter was passionate to be with Jesus. He was passionate to put things right with Jesus. But in verses 10 and 11 of this story, we hear how Peter was also keen to obey Jesus. Now, I was quite a good student when I went back to school. I wasn't that badly behaved. I was a bit of a teacher's pet in many ways. I was the one who did his homework on time without copying anyone else's. I was the one who generally didn't make too much noise in class lessons. I generally got to lessons on time and showed up to school on time. But my perfect disciplinary record was destroyed in year seven. And it was in rural studies. Our school had a farm for some reason, and they therefore thought that we needed to learn about rural studies and about lots of animals. Now, I've never been particularly good with animals. I've never been particularly passionate about rural studies. So I endured this class, but wasn't quite as excited as I might otherwise been. And on this particular occasion in rural studies, the teacher decided that she needed to go to the farm because there were some hens having chicks for some reason or something. And so she set us some work and then wandered out of the classroom for 20 minutes to go and look after some animals. Now, in hindsight, leaving a class full of year sevens on their own for 20 minutes probably wasn't the greatest idea. But anyway, that's what they did. And we were meant to sit down and get on with some work. The slight problem being that instead of doing the work, I had the great idea that I'd much rather sit down and have a chat with my friends. So I was chatting about who I'd signed on Football Manager last night. I was talking about who was going to win the Premier League. I was talking about what we were going to do in games later that day. And by the time the 20 minutes was up, the teacher came round and she started making her way round the class to see who had done what amount of work and how they were getting on with it. So she went to see Grace and John and James and Bethany and all the other people in the class and saw that they'd done a fair amount of work. And then she got to me, and she, for some reason, didn't think that writing two lines in 20 minutes, most of which had already been done before she left the classroom, was an acceptable amount of work. And from that moment on, my disciplinary record from school was banished because I got a detention and was made to make up the work after school, which I was devastated about. Now, I wasn't excited about rural studies, and I didn't obey my teacher because I thought there was something better to do. Now, but the disciples in this story, they were excited to go and be with Jesus. They were keen to get to Jesus and be with him on the shore. But when Jesus then asked them to do something, in these verses in 10 and 11, we only hear that it was Peter who actually went and did what Jesus had asked them to do. And the point that I want to make this morning is that we might all well get excited and passionate about being with Jesus. We might all love coming to church. We might all love worshipping our God. We might all love learning more of our God together. But there comes a point when Jesus asks us to do something. We then need to be willing to show our passion and our excitement for following Jesus by obeying what it is that he has asked us to do as well. Even at the start of this story, the disciples had drifted back to their day jobs. They decided to go out fishing, and they weren't having much luck at all in doing it in their fishing trip until Jesus came to the side of the shore and said, "Put your nets out on the other side." And it was when the disciples obeyed that then the boat was so full with fish that it started to sink. And God too asks us to do things for him. Maybe one of the things he asks us to do is when we're at school to go and do our best in the classroom and not be like me in rural studies, but actually do what the teacher asked us to do so that we can be the best people that God has made us to be and expand our gifting that God has given us as much as possible. Or maybe Jesus and God have asked us to perform a specific task, something that he would like us to do for him. Are we willing to be like Peter, who then gets up and obeys Jesus? Or will we be like the rest of the disciples, loving being in Jesus' presence, but not quite listening to what he was asking us to do and missing the opportunity to obey him and to follow what he would like? God has asked us all to live our lives in a way that is pleasing to him. He asks us to live a life that is full of love and compassion. He asks us to be people who worship God above anything else. He asks us to follow the example that he has set to us through the teaching of Jesus. Will we, as Christians, as followers of Jesus today, not just be passionate about meeting with Jesus, but will we also let that passion and that excitement to be with him affect our actions, that we might live our lives for him?